Episode 4 of the DQ Sports Blizzard. I'm pretty goddamn excited that we actually have sound right now.
We got it rolling?
Oh, Christ. It's one thing after another when you're learning, everybody. Yes, still learning. The old man on the fence already. Almost 48 and still learning. But we got it going on. What's up, Diaz?
Nothing, man. You know, you keep learning the tech side, and don't worry about the sports, and I'll cover the sports side. That's what we learn every
Jesus
week.
Jesus Christ! And I just got out the notice. Okay, we're starting 5 minutes late, literally right now. So if you're just tuning in, we're sorry about that. It's a matter of trying to work with different encoders and different systems when we went from a remote. In Tampa at the beautiful Shepherd's Beach Resort last Thursday back to now, but we got it back together finally. Thank you.
That was fun at Shepherd's. Sunset.
It was a blast,
talking
man.
Sports, had some guests.
We did have some guests. Throwing it out right now to DJ Paul Greenhall. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Paul was our DJ for the pep rally party. He's an Avalon guy. He was also our DJ for the tailgate, which was monumental and monumentally fucking hot. Paul knocked it out of the park on both parties.
Everyone had a good time, yeah.
Anybody's interested in hiring, go to DJ Paul Greenhall. That's DJ Paul Green, HALGH.com. For anyone that's interested, he's a stud. He took care of us very well. I don't know how he put up with that heat.
He's probably used to it down there. I'm more surprised that he was driving me around a golf cart up and down whatever that street is on Friday night. Oh yeah, you didn't
see
it.
No, I forgot.
You busted
out
of there. Yeah,
let's first, since we're playing a little bit of catch up here. Let's talk about our sponsors real fast. Then we'll do a Tampa review, and we're gonna go right into football. And we're gonna spend a good 50 minutes. Or an hour of the program on just football. And then I know Diaz wants to talk a little bit about the Sixers, and we both want to talk about the Phillies dumpster fire at the end. But and then we'll do what we do every week now, and we'll go through the matchups in the NFL. But this time I'm going to log it as opposed to my drunk ass not logging it last time, because I was about 7 shots of Jameson in and about 7 or 8 Miller Lights. So anyway, speaking of Miller Light, the largest sponsor of the Green Legion. Don't forget, anytime you're drinking beer, make sure it's Miller Lite. If you're not drinking Miller Lite, make sure you're drinking Yards, especially their Philly Pale Ale. Our friends from Yards, Tom Keough, and I have known each other for 30 years. He was a doorman at Kavanaugh's in 1989 when I started DJing University City. Yeah, most people
didn't know that.
Don't forget about our good friends, 422 Jeep Limerick, Mike McVeigh. Got a little bit of props last week. Talk sports, walk out with a Jeep. That's the deal.
Mike McVeigh's joining us on Sunday, him and his crew.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they have that wagon of theirs that they have that they tailgate. He's bringing his crew to the Legion.
Maybe we should do a small podcast at the tent.
That's fine with me.
Yeah,
maybe I like to
30
talk.
30 minutes. This way, I keep you from talking to everybody else. That'd
That's
be
right.
great.
Yep.
Also, don't forget about Bucks County Baseball. They'll have a tent set up underneath our big tent this week, which. We'll get back to Bucks County Baseball. We have to thank our friends at Xfinity Live because they are allowing us an unlimited amount of people this week underneath a 100 by 100 foot tent that they're going to have erected, giggity, 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 for Oktoberfest that's taking place the day before. So one of the rare moments where we have an unlimited amount of space. And the rain is out of the forecast right now, as far as I've seen.
Yeah,
but
it could be some spotted.
Yeah, you know what? I'd rather be under a tent any day of the weekend. If you want to go out and get in under the sun, by all means, I love that concept. I think everybody else will as well. So underneath that 100 by 100 foot tent will be Bucks County Baseball Company, that's selling some of the best vintage Eagles gear. They have plenty of hats, T-shirts. When it gets closer to winter and they're out there, they're going to bring plenty of gloves for you jackasses that forget every time.
Made a fortune on that
last
winter.
And certainly going to start inventorying some new Green Legion gear. And we'll talk about that in about a month. We have to get through London before I can talk about doing anything creative, but we're going to get there eventually. And then don't forget about our two bar sponsors, the Kavanaugh's restaurants all over the city, Riverdeck, Head House right off of South Street, Rittenhouse, our friend Paul downstairs, our good friend Ken Hutchings, my fishing buddy, one of my closest friends for a very long time, one of the owners, as well as the Pavelchecks. Fantastic family. Don't forget about Brian up at 39th and Sansom, the University City location. As well, as always, our friends and the beautiful ladies over at Delilah's.
It's been about, what, two or three weeks since I've been there? I mean,
I know.
I can't make it tonight.
I don't know. You might not have a choice.
God damn it.
Yeah, there you
just
go.
Just get pulled there.
You should have just kept your mouth shut. Right. You might have got out of that. Anyway, Tampa recap. What from a trip standpoint, what stands out in your mind the most, DS?
Well, the two items that I've been telling people, it's always fun. Always get to meet new people. This trip we had, a couple bachelor parties, some birthday parties, a bunch of couples, and more so than normal, parents and younger, you know, like college.
Breeding the new generation,
yeah,
baby.
Breeding the new generation in, which is great. You know, the trips are affordable, but not always when you get out of college.
How about
you know?
The doctor's daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That just wasn't even fair.
I know.
Especially her shirt on game day without a bra and the nipple piercings.
I did not see that.
It was impossible to not notice. Every time she ran up the steps, she went right past you.
I
You're fucking married now. You're oblivious.
That's not true. I want to go to Delilah's. That's it. We're going to Delilah's.
Well, guess what? We will not be alone as Hollis is going to be joining us over at Delilah's.
All right, nice. So the two things that came up to me first that point out was obviously the wedding. And we'll just spend a quick second on this wedding. So we do a bar crawl. It's the schedules. It could be different, but generally we get into town a Friday night. But we do a bar crawl. We've condensed it a little bit because we find that people don't want to, you know, they get in at 4:15 to the first bar. We tell them they got to leave at 5.
It's too much.
It's too much. So
we have really great bars down there now.
Right.
We can spend 2 hours at each one and know they're taking very good care.
You're going to get good food. You're going to get good drinks. They all had good beer. You know, I'm a beer person there. No Yards, but
working on it.
So I kind of held back at the first bar, and I walked in with three or four other people. And as I walk in, Quimby with this big dumb Quimby face, it smiled at, "Oh, we got a social media thing for you." And you know, like, and since you have no idea what that means, I was like, "Yeah, right, whatever." And then you pulled me aside. Turns out there was a wedding on the beach.
Our second stop, to preface this, we should mention, because they
true.
Did take
That's
very
true.
Good care of us. The Brown Boxer, our good friend Jay, who owns it, his mother Nancy, who's been on our side since 2006, they gave us ridiculous special.
Crazy special.
$2 domestic beers and $2 fireballs from 4 to 6. I mean, you're just an asshole if you can't get a little tipsy there.
That's right.
And then over to Tropics. Tropics used to be owned by our friend Linda Weiss. Her mother got sick. She had to give up the business. Now the Hilton is running Tropics, and they're just starting to bring back the locals because it's a hell of a spot. It's a hell of a beach spot.
It's right on the beach.
Yeah, it's where you pull your boat up. It's not, Shepherd's doesn't have that big of a beach. Tropics does. So a lot of locals pull up in their jet skis and their boats, and they park there, you know, and you just hang out in the fucking water all day. So anyway,
we're sitting there. We're having a great time. There was... people came in waves during this Tampa trip Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So the whole crew wasn't all there yet. But Friday, we had a decent size. I said about 100 people, maybe a little bit more. I don't know. And we're all crowded on the deck at Tropics. And there is literally a wedding that's about to start. It must have had a 6:30 start on the beach right outside the bar. Now, you know, you made a great job with this couple. Turns out they're both Eagles fans.
All right. Well, if I may on this, and then you take over from there. Julie Norberg again. Thank you at the Hampton Inn down in Clearwater Beach. She was the one that set up our bar crawl. It's a great story. I'm looking and I'm seeing what's taking place, and for one of the first times in a little while. And we really hadn't been pushing the bar crawls because I don't think we were doing them right. I think you were accurate on what you just said. You know, we're still learning. We're still trying to figure this shit out. So instead of going to four different bars for an hour, we went to two for 2 hours. And you saw that it was a little bit better received than most bar crawls have been for a while.
Right.
So I believe that 90% of everybody that was on the trip with us come 4 o'clock on Friday was on the bar crawl with us. By the time we rolled into Tropics, we were probably a good 75 strong, with a majority of our people coming in on Saturday.
That's right.
Because of flights. So we get there, and I see this going down, and I'm like, Julie, you didn't tell us about this. I'm like, these guys have been drinking all afternoon in the pool, all morning and afternoon in the pool. They've just had $2 over at the Boxer. And she goes, don't worry about it. The bride and groom are huge Eagles fans. I'm like, stop it. I'm like, okay, here's the deal. I can promise you, 100% without question, there will not be any speaking on any of our clients' parts through the ceremony.
15-minute ceremony, yeah.
It was a less than 15-minute ceremony. Boom, boom, kiss her, get up there. Yeah. But it's going to come at a cost. I said flat out, it's going to come at a cost. She goes, oh, what's that? I'm like, one big photo bomb at the end. She goes, okay, all right, I can see that, and I'm pretty sure the bride will be down with that. I'm like, okay. She goes, but you probably should talk to her. So the closest I've ever been to getting married, I get escorted up to the top floor at the Hampton where she's getting ready into the bride room. Into the fucking bride room. Like, you know, nobody's supposed to see her until she comes downstairs. Right? This fucking degenerate jerk off is the only one that did. You came up with me, didn't you?
No.
Oh, no. Who was it? Oh, it was the gentleman from the Hampton Inn that was escorting us up as well. So I'm like, well, first of all, congratulations. And I hear you're big Eagles fan. She goes, yep, fucking love them. I'm like, all right, well, this is what I can promise you. All right, I'll keep everybody shut so your ceremony is phenomenal. After that, it's going to come at a cost. I'm going to bring everybody down off the deck, and we're going to photobomb the hell out of this wedding. She goes, well, I can tell you two things. A, I like to be picked up, and B, I like random shots of vodka. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're the fucking coolest person ever. All right, Jordan, you are the coolest person
ever.
Yes. And your husband, Jonathan, fucking phenomenal. And it was at that point, and I had two extra tickets. And I'm like, you know what? You guys are awesome. Also, I want to invite you guys to attend our tailgate and the game with us on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
She started to cry. She literally started to cry. She started welling up. No, 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 no. I take it back. Don't cry now. Your makeup's perfect. Don't cry now. So at the end, because her husband didn't know anything about it. But when we came around, I just walked up. I'm like, John, congratulations, man. This was all staged per your wife. And he goes, awesome. Doesn't surprise me. And then as you saw, the text message that we got later from him. Thanks for making the most epic day of my life even more entertaining by doing that. And we really appreciate you guys bringing us to the game. Fucking love you. We're on our way to Vegas for a honeymoon.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So that was the first thing. That's never happened. I mean, we've had proposals.
Yes, we have.
We haven't. We haven't, as a Legion, crashed a wedding. We had 75 wedding crashers. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
You know? The second thing to take away is what many people probably saw. We saw it on Facebook, online. There was a couple of Philly's finest officers that were...
Oh, yeah.
Officer
Stevenson and Officer Bomber.
When the Eagles won the Super Bowl in February, they were on duty. They were in their cars. It was on their dash cam video. And you see when they won, the two of them jumped out of their cars right away. They're screaming in. They hug each other. They're screaming. And then they go right back in their cars because, you know, they're working. So we reached out to them.
Well, they put their lights on.
Yeah, put the lights
on.
Yeah, yeah, sirens.
They got back on Tuesday. They fucking loved it.
Yeah, so what's great, though, is we reached out to them, offered them a free trip. You know, they had a couple different options. They picked Tampa. They came in on Saturday. I was talking to them at the pep rally Saturday night, and it turns out one of them, Officer Bomber?
Stevenson.
Stevenson and...
Bomber.
Bomber, okay. Bomber was... When they went to check in, he had a seat and everything, and Stevenson, they were saying... we don't have a seat for you just yet. So he's like, what the hell? You know, he's getting nervous. The other guy's like, I'm getting on the plane. So Stevenson does get a seat right next to Brent Celek
way
down to Tampa for the game. So he gets to sit down. I mean, what's that? He gets a free trip to watch the birds down in Florida, gets a weekend out of it, and then sits down with a you know, an Eagles legend.
We have a fantastic picture of him wearing Brent's Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, so that was great. Besides the heat, Shepherd's was awesome. That was great. I hadn't been there since the rebuild, I mean, it really is vastly improved it.
Monumental. Yeah. Leaps and bounds.
Yeah, it was. Leaps and bounds. It was really, really good. The tailgate went off as well as it could. It was extremely, extremely hot. It was sort of on a marsh. Everyone had wet toes and wet feet, but everyone had a great time. It was good. The caterer, Holy Hog Barbecue,
phenomenal.
I had three plates.
Did you?
Yeah, and most of the time, that's just because I remember.
I was wondering why we ran out of brisket,
well,
you dickhead.
I remember to eat. A lot of times I get so hyped at these road games, I forget to eat. And, you know, I'm making a point here. So, yeah, they were great, too. Game didn't turn out how we wanted. It was just so damn hot. I mean, how many people do you think just left to go back to the hotel at halftime out of our total club?
Half.
And this was not just Eagles fans not used to the heat. There was Tampa fans laid out everywhere,
it was
too.
Brutal.
And it's not just drunk people. It
Paul,
was really
quit
hot.
Fucking texting me. Jesus Christmas, you're like a fucking girl.
What, he's trying to get on the show?
He wants to talk. Dude, if you want to get on the show, for Christ's sake, here. 484-429-9983. Call in, and then I can laugh at you for every stupid thing that you say right now.
Right. So that's a nice little Tampa recap, I think. You know, we could talk about the game.
That's a perfect Tampa recap.
Yeah.
Our tailgate was huge, bro. 628. I think we probably were about 75 short. Just from the heat.
From the heat, right.
Yeah. Maybe not quite that, but 550 seems about right on the number. Probably twice the size of the closest one. Remember, at the Green Legion, be a VIP, not a WIP. And, you know, their little tent was cute. It really was. Little guys.
Yeah.
Well, and that story is coming one day. Making sure it's the right time.
I'm editing it for clarity and proofreading.
You don't need to edit anything. It'll be completely truthful. But, I think at this point it's a perfect time to segue from the Tampa recap into the game. And we have a list of things that we wanted to talk about today. And you know, let's start on number two.
Let's see how many we can get.
I think we can get through this. Let's not spend too much time on this. We're going to get through like three or four, and then we're going to take
a break.
A short break. But go ahead, bro. You brought the Wentz return and the wide receiver scarcity. Please.
Well, now this even comes in. Since I wrote this, you added the third item, Wendell Smallwood, as your feature back. You know, you never like this. This isn't something that all Super Bowl teams go through, but they did play in last year. Like Alshon Jeffrey, you know, would have had this.
He's not back yet this week.
No, he would have had this surgery the first week in January if they don't make the playoffs. You know what I mean? So
where is he on his return?
He was not put on the PUP before the season, which means I think it's he'd have to sit 7 weeks.
Right.
Right. So they expect him back before that, but it isn't like it could be between weeks 3 and 5.
Ugh.
I mean, because after that, it's, you know, he's taking up a roster spot right now.
Yeah.
He's taking up a roster spot, but he's not playing, not practicing this week.
There's a few other bodies taking up roster spots right now at that position too.
It's true, but I mean,
Mike
Wallace is on IR. Mac Hollins is on IR. Now both of them can return, but 8 weeks.
Yeah.
It's just not there. They're injured. That's okay. Three guys.
All right,
that are out.
Then let's pick that topic apart right now. Does Wentz's return help this cause? Because they're decimated at the receiver position right now. You can't. They're decimated at the receiver position right now, and they're not focusing enough on their tight ends.
I agree.
Philly Goddard's been fucking a ghost.
That's true. He's a rookie. It's game two.
Don't care. Game time.
I hear you. I hear no. But what I don't know about scheming and game plan.
He's
and
a
all
big
that.
Target. If he has to fucking break out as a slot or you know on the far end, fucking do it, man. He's because I don't even know some of these names. I didn't even know some of the receivers that were on the field.
Well, but the title of episode 3 of the DQ Sports Blizzard
is that I don't know shit.
Quimby doesn't know shit about football.
It.
So,
it's okay.
I mean, let's be fair.
I'm not going that deep.
Yeah.
All right. I go deep, you know, in other things.
Right, yeah.
But that.
Haagen-Dazs, you know, Chinese.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. Your wallet when I ask
Latin,
you for shit. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we did forget something on the social media, which is has to bring up, and it was all due to you. Our friend Connor Miles and his sister, who you could tell the story.
So Connor and his sister, you know, for those of you on Twitter, Connor Miles, he's on Twitter. He's a younger dude. Good Eagles takes. I like him. Turns out his dad died tragically in May. There was a car accident with him and his sister, or his dad and his sister. And his sister was caught in the car. There was some big tractor trailer. The car was on fire. Their dad opened the door, drug her out, and she lived. Unfortunately, he passed away.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel for the guy. I saw him last week looking to see who's coming down and where are people sitting. So I knew he was planning on going. I said, oh, this guy doesn't have anything yet. He lives in Florida. So.
Right.
Like Orlando or something like that. So, you know, we reached out and said, hey, man, we'd love to have you. Yeah, we're all Eagles family. So, so he came down. Now, the funny thing about the two of them, and, you know, we're not personal friends. I never met him in person before. I didn't even know what he looked like. Never played Flip Cup before.
Did we play some Flip Cup?
I played some Flip in the sun, which was fucking difficult.
Yeah.
We taught a lot of people Flip Cup this weekend. I don't know what it is, Florida people. No Flip Cup down there.
Too fucking hot.
Yeah, we did not have any beer pong balls or ping pong balls. So, but anyway, he was good to have too. It was good to meet him.
Good to
see
him and his sister.
Yeah. I think they had a good time. Wish it wasn't so hot, but anyway, like, as far as the game goes, you asked the question.
Receivers. The scares. Here's the main question on two, and then we got to move on. Does Wentz coming back help your receivers?
I don't know if it helps the receivers, but it helps the team. I think Wentz would have made two plays last week that would have changed that game. I don't know which plays, but he's a playmaker. Even with the knee thing, he's a different type of guy on the field. I don't know if he'll help the receivers, that like Foles can't help them, but he's a playmaker, and we don't have much of them right now.
Here's the concern that I have, and it was, I think Nick had all day to throw back there for the most part. And his receivers couldn't get open. He had 6 and 7 seconds at times. And maybe, I don't know, Nick doesn't seem to be seeing a deep receiver right now, but he couldn't find anybody open on some of these plays. And if your receivers can't get open with that much time, I know he's scrambling around a little bit, but you got to find a fucking seam, man. The first football 101, when you're a receiver, find a seam. Find a seam and get in there and let your quarterback throw it right in your belly. I don't know.
I haven't seen any recap tape or anything. It was just from our vantage point, which our seats were great. It was a great vantage point. But, you know, I don't know if he was missing people or hesitant to throw. He did have a lot of time. So it's good to have Wentz back. And these games, too, people hate when you say it. I want to win the game. But this is like preseason. You have to get healthy for that stretch run.
I don't know. Let's move on to the next two, because I think Wendell Smallwood is your feature back, and where was Clement goes hand in hand. I spoke to Gunner before we got on the plane for a little while, and Derek Gunn.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I'm like, bro, I know you don't like talking sports when you're not working, but he and I have known each other for a decade now. He's covered us all over the country. And I'm like, man, what's up with Smallwood and Clement, and why did he go with Smallwood? I don't know how many carries Smallwood had, 15, 18, but he was definitely the feature back once Ajayi went down.
Right.
And obviously Ajayi, you know, came back in the game, but he wasn't the
he's
same.
He's not practicing.
Well,
he's
it's
not
obvious.
Playing, yeah.
You know, he got stuffed three times at the end zone. Which I kind of feel like if it's Jay Ajayi healthy, he gets in.
Yeah.
But he said it's matchups. Doug plays matchups, and he went with a smaller, faster back because he thought that he could expose certain matchups. And I don't think Wendell had a terrible game. He held on to the ball, which is better than the last fucking game he played, which was Dallas 2 years ago when he coughed that shit up.
Right.
But I get the matchups, but I just want to see Clement get more handles. I want to see him touch the ball. I want to see that big, what is he, 225, 230? I want to see him cracking some fucking heads. And at the very least, I want to see him out of the backfield catching some passes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Do you remember the Super Bowl?
That's right.
And if he gets in the open field, there's a good chance he can make somebody miss. And if he doesn't, he's going to stiff arm somebody into the fucking grass, into the grass.
Yeah.
And I don't.
He's a playmaker.
He is a playmaker. What's your take on that? I mean, understanding, yeah, maybe matchups are the key here, and that's what he won. And, you know, hey, Doug, listen, you got a hall pass, Bo. You know, you got a 5-year hall pass here, honestly. You won us a title. Right. I'm just curious. I want to know what you saw over what we were looking at. And I get it. You're smarter. I'm an armchair quarterback, and according to Diaz, one of the dumbest fucking sports minds there is.
Minds. Much as minds.
Yeah. But what do you
I mean, I don't keep track of the plays, obviously, when we're sitting there, but that game could have been won. You know, there's the two big defensive lapses. They have the ball. They're down six. Why don't you get Wendell Smallwood is a replacement level player in these matchups, and you think he's going to be shiftier than Clement, who's just a little bigger, but Clement can still run. He's not slow. You know, you don't have any playmakers on the field. You don't have Alshon Jeffrey. You don't have Mike Wallace, I'm even saying. Why don't you use, you know, Aguilar, Corey Clement? Wendell Smallwood shouldn't be getting touches. It's just there's injuries. You know, there's injuries, so he's going right to have to. Yeah. But it's – and the other thing, it's just not fun. Wendell Smallwood doesn't inspire anything.
He is uninspiring.
He's uninspiring. You know, I don't want him. As far as the wide receivers go, you know, what happened today, signing Jordan, like, it's nothing. We got to have people.
We'll get to Josh Gordon later on, by the
Josh
way.
Josh Adams?
Josh Gordon.
Oh, Josh Gordon. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But, well, I don't know. What's Sproles looking like?
I don't know. I think they said he would be out a couple weeks. Yep.
Let's touch on one more topic here, and then when we come back from break, we're going to talk about penalties because I have never ever seen 3rd and 42.
Yeah,
ever.
Third and 42,
and this is after Clement's punt return into Tampa Bay territory was called back by a block in the back.
Right,
but we'll get into that in a minute. Here's the question that does plague me, and I don't give a shit if it's matchups or whatnot. Why? Foles comes in with 2 weeks left in the season and 3 games in the playoffs, and he and Doug lets him take the fucking handcuffs off. I mean, he's slinging it. He's just slinging it, and it's working. And now it doesn't seem like he can throw the ball any further than 3 or 4 fucking yards.
Yeah.
Why is that? Is the receiver situation that bad? I mean, you know, when they signed Alshon, I'm like, fuck, thank God. We finally have, you know, and I'm not talking about last year on the 1-year deal. I'm talking about, you know, his extension. But, I mean, make some sense out of that for me.
I know you're going to hate it. It's preseason. The line hadn't played together.
It's 16 games.
I get
you. There is no fucking time for preseason.
I get you, but that's how the NFL treats it this month. You know, that's
why I disagree, man.
But that's how they treat it. They're seeing what they got.
No. Okay. Here's the deal, and we learned this very quickly last year. You have to have home field advantage.
Absolutely.
All right. And right now, you give up a game like that. Now, Tampa might not be that bad of a team. We might be discrediting a pretty good goddamn team. Their receivers are beasts. Godwin and Evans are studs. And I never thought I'd say that about Godwin, but he's a big target. You know,
Penn Stater.
I just.
Look at Quimby's face change as Penn State.
But still, it's not preseason for Nick. He's played this game for most of his life, and you're the Super Bowl MVP. Why are plays not designed? How many screenplays did we see last week or Sunday?
I can't even count
that high.
And, did you see Clement? I mean, why isn't Corey Clement getting
the screens?
A couple screens.
That's the guy I want getting the screens.
Yeah.
And the ones he's getting are have no shot of working at all. Tell me, is the confidence level in Nick that low right now? Or is it the receivers? Or is it a combination of both? Or is it just that this team was completely fucking gassed in 105 degree index against a team that practices in that shit?
I think it's a combination of all of it. There's too long, you know, I didn't even get to my, first off, section 245 in that stadium. I can't fucking find it. I'm looking right. All over. I couldn't find it. It wasn't marked. I was walking around the concourse looking for it when Deshaun scored. I wasn't even in my seat yet. Bad play. You know, Ronald Darby makes a tackle on O.J. Howard. You know, that's two 150 total yards of plays there. It's two touchdowns. You take them off the board. You know, Jake Elliott misses a kick. You know, then you're kind of within a field goal of winning. It just was one of those games. It's like, you know, that penalty you were talking about, or that penalty drive. I don't even know how you describe that.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that on the way back.
But that was like, oh my god, this is just not. You know, oh, we got a great play, nice return, and now we're back inside of our 10. It's like, it's just not our day. They didn't look crisp on offense. They looked kind of unsure of what was going on defense. It's not great. I think though, having Wentz back, it's going to inspire some confidence. Some of the people were saying that today online. You know, that is that fluff. I don't know. They're coming back home. It's a great time to come back home.
It is a good time to be back home. And this, well, we're going to get to the Colts matchup on the way back in. But yeah, you're right. It's a good time to be back. We're going to take a short break here on the DQ Sports Blizzard. We'll be back right after this. All right, episode 4 of the DQ Sports Blizzard. This segment brought to you by Miller Lite and Yards PPA. That would be Yards Philly Pale Ale. Everybody, we said on the way back in we were going to talk about, A, the penalty situation, and then we're going to get into the Colts outlook, and then we're going to talk about some of the shockers and not shockers of the week. And on that note, I'm going to have to text Captain Demps, who called us during the break, because he doesn't listen to the show at all. He just calls in between 6 and 7.
Yeah, he likes trying to correct me. Can't correct this, Captain.
3rd and 42. Have you ever seen it before?
No, I don't think so.
Right?
I don't think
not
so.
Not once.
Well, maybe on one big, long, like, fucked up sack or something, a bad snap or something. Not on 4 consecutive penalties. You know, not a penalty and a penalty and a penalty. Sometimes you'll see, 1st and 30 or something like that. But 42.
Never seen that before. Never, ever seen that before. Keep talking. I'm texting.
Texting Captain. He's not easy to deal with. You know, if we're talking penalties overall, I think the problem is, and if it was the other way, I'd be complaining it just as much. But I think that when you try and legislate everything into a textbook about how referees are supposed to call the game, and the players are just so fucking fast, and the plays are so fast, whether we talk about the helmet rule, block in the back, slipping, like it happens so quick. I don't know. I can't be the. I'm not going to say that all those penalties were wrong or anything like that. But there is something in most sports, whether that be the strike zone, whether that be fouls in basketball, whether that be anything in soccer, where it's up to the ref discretion. You know, if someone's holding a receiver, or a receiver is doing a pick play, okay, it's obvious. You can see it. You call it. Everyone knows there's holding on every play. Everyone knows they're holding on every play. And if it's affecting the play, it should be called. If we had 4 penalties in a row, then it certainly affected the Tampa defense, and they should be called. Again, I didn't watch the recap, but it's just – it really kills
I'm looking at ESPN right now, which I don't normally do, but they're saying we only had 6 penalties for 55 yards? Because I thought I saw a hell of a lot more than that.
It was that one drive. I mean, that's a drive-killing penalty strike there.
Well, that's surprising, honestly. Well,
I mean, you see that, but when you're killing a drive, it's just like, we'll just take, Let's just punt.
Right.
Just let's try and pin them. It was a rough game. You have to see things clean up. I sound like a coach now. It wasn't everyone's best game. It wasn't a good game plan. You know, there was a lot of injuries. The defense looked out of sync. The offense couldn't. The players couldn't get open. Game plan didn't look crisp. You know,
I hear you.
And we lost by one score.
Let's see if our audio works today. I'm hoping so. Captain, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Yay! At least we have one fucking thing that works right today.
Well, let's see what he says.
Exactly.
Let's see what he says first.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, for the record, I do listen to the show, and I was just plugging the number in because I got it on a link in my text messages, and I just wanted to make sure I had the number right between.
So you just decided to call us in the middle of Jane's addiction, huh?
Well, who wants to listen to that?
I could say it. I could say it's spoken like a true black man.
Well,
exactly.
Quimby's had some great moments with Jane's Addiction in 1986. Some of his favorite concert at the old Trocadero, 1987.
You son of a bitch.
So what's happening, boys? What are we chatting about?
We're gonna skip the skipping everything that we discussed earlier. The better part of the show has just been, what's wrong? How does it get fixed? How long does it take? Scarcity at wide receiver. Why are the cuffs not off of Nick? What will Carson do when, in fact, it doesn't seem like there's a single person to throw to next to Aguilar? And let's rewind the clock a little bit. When was the last time you would have ever thought you would have said there's nobody to throw to except Aguilar? But we're gonna dispense with the preliminaries once you're when you call, and we're gonna get right to the Colts matchup right now because I wanna hear your take first, and then Diaz, and then I have two simple words to say about this game. And on that note, Captain, take it away.
Well, I've got to throw away everything that I thought I knew about the Eagles. I mean, I felt like I was back in Chip Kelly years, and I got to think that we've got two Dougs. You know, we got Doug that needs the Snickers, and then the Doug that won the Super Bowl, because that guy, that dude last week, I don't know. Tampa Bay ran the game that we were supposed to run, which was attack on defense, attack on offense, and take your shots. And we didn't do any of those things. So I don't know. And I'm frightened, too. You bring in Jordan Matthews. The last I checked, he played in the slot, too. So who's going to be on the outside, him or Aguilar? Neither one of them are very good at that. And the last I checked, Jordan Matthews couldn't catch. So
I don't know how I don't think you can move Aguilar from the slot.
I don't think so.
Exactly.
I think he found a home that's where he needs to stay. Yeah.
But you bring in a guy that's proven that couldn't catch, and you stick him on the outside where you need him to be, and to make the inside guy less effective. So, again, I'd have to think that Doug Peterson knows more than me. He's got a chip, and I don't have one. But certainly it's puzzling, the two games that they've played this year. It's mind-blowing to me, and I don't know why they didn't bring anybody in. And here's another thing. Why isn't Shelton Gibson playing?
That is a good question.
Can Shelton Gibson play?
I think the answer to that is yes.
I think it's the answer to that is better than the slop you saw on the field.
I hate saying we'll have to wait and see, but he's been with the team now for a season and a couple games. Even if he is playing, which he probably will, you still need another guy. Just Jordan Matthews. I made the comparison today. If you need a wide receiver and you're looking on your fantasy depth chart for a wide receiver, there's crap there. And those guys are already on teams. There's not a whole lot floating out there. I mean, we could talk about Macklin, Matthews, Dez Bryant. I mean, there's none of these are great options. I'm assuming that this is just a holdover for a couple weeks Hopefully. You know, I don't. When's Matt Collins eligible to be back? And I can't believe I'm asking that question. Is he back like in week five, week six, or do they have to wait all the way to week nine?
I don't know, but he's another guy that can actually catch, though. I mean, I would not be upset to see him and or Gibson getting some work.
I would love to see Matt Collins getting some serious, serious time.
But like, he is on the IR.
I would love to see him getting 8 or 10 balls thrown to him a game just to see what he does.
So look, so that being the case, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm arguing with people, hey, Howie's got this. And we see Josh Gordon come and go. We see Dez still sit out there. So that says, hey, they want to stand pat and they don't think they need anybody, which makes the running game all the more important.
That is
so am I not seeing Corey Clement?
We went over that. And I spoke to Gunner before we got on the plane, Cap, and Gunner pointed out that Doug is all about matchups. That's a part you might not have heard, but he thought that Wendell Smallwood was a smaller, quicker back that could expose certain elements of the defensive line and the linebacker core. And I think Diaz and I said, all right, you know what, you can bring the numbers game into it as much as you want, which, you know, obviously what Cap has been doing and you know, everything's about the numbers these days, but I want to see what Corey Clement looks like on his 16th or 17th fucking carry. And after that that offensive line has been beating up the legs of whatever fucking defensive line we're playing against, I want to see him put his head down, even though he can't really put his head down, put his shoulder down, and push 228 pounds through that line. I think he can, and I think he should. And, you know, hey, we're not saving him for anything. You know, six carries a game. What, you know, are we going to try to make sure he extends his career until he's 38? What are we doing here? You know, give him the ball. Give him the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Captain, what are you seeing about this Colts game from a Colts perspective? I'm after last week. Last week was a shit game. All right, that was hopefully that's the shit game of the year. But
that was a Seattle game.
I'm concerned about my boy T.Y. He can fly, and we got burnt twice by, you know, poor coverage and tackling. And T.Y. Hilton, he led the league in yardage a couple years ago. Andrew Luck's back. Andrew Luck's looking for him. You know, if we can get pressure, great. But I'm concerned about T.Y. Hilton. What's your concern, or what do you see that the Eagles can exploit against the Colts? One of those two. What's your concern, and what do you matchup are you looking at?
I have the very same concern, and none of us are on this call are big Andrew Luck fans, but the fact of the matter is, you get an NFL quarterback some time and some receivers, bad things are going to happen to you. So unless those guys, Schwartz, figures out what he's going to do, we're going to have the same result as last week. And, you know, that first one was Jenkins' fault. He thought it was going to be short. He gambled, and it was long. But if you don't make the tackle on the backside, it's a freaking problem. So I don't know how we're going to score points now. That was my beef last week with Tampa. So how am I going to get points?
That's right.
Actually, you want to hear something fucking crazy? Ajayi and Clement both got 7 carries. Smallwood only got 6.
Where were we? It was hot. That's our excuse. It was goddamn hot. The three of us were sitting in that row all by ourselves. It was freaking hot.
Yeah, exactly.
And Ertz and Aguilar combined for 19 receptions.
Hey, I want to get back to something that you said about matchups.
Sure.
That matchup game, that works in basketball. But that's not a football thing. In football, my guys are bigger, stronger, and faster than you, and this is what I'm going to do. So I don't adjust to you.
That's
but
right.
I don't have a Lombardi, so.
No.
No, we all have a Lombardi.
We all have a Lombardi, but I agree with I agree with Captain on this one to an extent. I mean, listen, if they have
659, 919, 2018.
If they've got crap. Corner. If they have crap guys on the outside, yeah, you might throw to your receivers a little more often. But when you're looking at matchups, you know, Wendell Smallwood or Corey Clement, you're going Clement every time.
Clement,
you know, the matchup
right.
is
right.
What angle does Wendell Smallwood have? We were talking 3 weeks ago. He might not even be on the team. 4 weeks ago, he's not even going to be on the team. You know, so
exactly.
Maybe this Josh Adams, if he can hold on to the ball, maybe he gets a couple extra runs this weekend. He's a big dude.
I'm going to tell you right now. I said I have two words for you in the Colts matchup, and I'm sorry. I will stand by this. I'll stand by it the rest of the season. Don't get all worked up, Colts fans, because you beat the Redskins, okay? The Redskins beat the Cardinals, and the Cardinals might not score another fucking point as long as Sam Bradford is your quarterback. But simple two words, luck sucks. Luck sucks.
I thought you were a Phil Rivers hater. You're also a luck hater, huh?
I think luck is as useful as tits on a fish.
Tits on a fish, man. Listen, I
don't care what you think.
I wasn't hanging out in the 80s. I don't know if...
You're not that far off, you bastard. How old are you now?
Shit, man, I'm pushing 30 now.
You know? You're pushing 39 right now, aren't you? When's your 40th coming?
Anyway,
you can't fool anybody about it anymore because you're losing your hair.
Back to the sports. Everyone's losing their hair.
I have not lost a follicle, motherfucker.
Yeah, but you're pretty gray as shit.
No, I'm not.
He's not gray.
Just in my beard.
Yeah, we'll show. Actually, what we should do is I should put up that New Orleans video from 2006. There's some classic Quimbyisms on there.
Oh, God, please.
He's wearing purple sunglasses.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Purple sunglasses?
Oh, yeah. Your look. I don't know, man. You were living in Miami at the time. I think that was the problem.
2006? 2012.
2006, New Orleans.
I don't know. 2007, where I met Cap. That was it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Cap, so what time are we going to see you on Sunday? We got a big tent. We need the cat.
Yeah, first of all, if you show up an hour before the game, I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
Yeah, what the hell's that, man?
Unlike you jokers, I can't roll out of bed and be at the stadium.
You don't drink, you cocksucker.
Yeah, you don't.
Another city.
You don't drink.
Yeah, no. Absolutely unfair comparison, 100%. I'm going to be hungover as balls on Sunday, and I'm going to be up at the stadium before 7 a.m.
I have a party at 2 o'clock the Saturday before and friends in town. I'm going to be drinking all night, and I will be down there by hopefully 9. let's not get there at 11:30 and roll in and high-five and go in the game. Let's come in there, and you can sit and watch me have a drink.
I will make some time. All right, fair enough. I can endeavor for 10. How about that?
There you go. 10's
good. We're good with that.
Defending freedom every day.
I like it.
That's true. Captain's out there defending our freedom.
Doing more before 6 a.m. than most people do all day.
Except for getting in the fucking car.
Thank you. Perfect.
All right. Well, listen, boys. I won't keep you.
You're never keeping us, baby.
I guess to the rest of the show.
First of all, prediction score this week.
Brother, I got nothing. I'm going to say I still think the Birds win. I don't get how. So I'm going to go 24-17.
Interesting. They covered by one.
Wow. So I was going to say
Vegas,
what's the line?
Vegas has them as a 6-point favorite.
Jesus, for getting all the love.
I believe they get the love on this one, and I'm not going to buy into the bullshit. I actually thought they were going to lose this game on Sunday. I told you that before we went on air.
I
told you on air I was hoping that by picking the Bucks it would go the other way. For purposes of this particular conversation, I think it's 30-17 Philadelphia.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go.
We score some points.
We're going to have to figure out a fucking way, Cap.
I'm going with the win as well, but more like a.
I think the defense gets us 10. By the way.
Okay. If they got us 10, I would say 14-13. 24-13. That's a cover song.
24-13. Okay.
But the defense has got it. The defense is just. We got to ride them for a little. They got to step up, and none of these big plays.
I hear you, Cap.
Well, I don't gamble, so I don't know anything about these lines that you're speaking of, but okay.
It's all good, baby. Hey, we will see you on Sunday, and as always, brother, thanks for tuning in and checking in with us.
Hey, I love you guys. Be easy. Right,
love you too. See be you, safe man. On the way up, baby. See you.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll see you. Yeah, I don't see this one. I don't see this one being anywhere close, to be honest with you.
You just hate Luck, huh?
I do. I think he's useless. I don't like him. I don't like him in any way, shape, or form.
Any concern with Frank Wright coming back to town?
None. I think his resume was I held the clipboard while Doug Peterson did everything. Sorry.
Wasn't that Doug Peterson's MO yep.
Before he went and coached high school?
And he came here from KC?
Yeah, no, I don't see it, bro.
So what do you want to move on next? You want to hit some NFL stuff? You want to hit Sixers? You want to hit Phillies? Yeah. We're an hour in almost.
Yeah, we're an hour in. Let's get to this NFL talk. Let's start talking about Pat Mahomes in Kansas City because I know you're a big fan.
Oh, I'm a Mahomie. I motherfucking Petrie picked in front of me. Listen, we do this draft again. I don't care where I pick. I don't want Petrie before or after me because he fucking
don't worry
me.
About it. He won't be in it.
Oh,
next
that's
year
right. Yeah,
you have to be
you
present.
Have to show up.
Yeah,
yeah. Petrie can't do a draft. I love Pat Mahomes, man. I bought into the hype. You know, all off season. I got him for $1 in my auction league. My auction keeper league, $1. Best quarterback in the league right now. Now, you know, he's a rookie. He's going to mess up. But, you know, 10 touchdown passes his first two games. Broke Breeze and Peyton Manning's record of 9 in their first two games, which I found surprising because Drew Breeze, while drafted relatively high, you know, it took him a while to really, you know, become the Hall of Famer that he is 4 or 5 seasons until he got to New Orleans.
Right.
You know, Kansas City, this dude, he can run. He's got a cannon. He takes risks. And then his skill guys are just so fast. Can you imagine having Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and even Sammy Watkins, Kareem Hunt? I mean, like, that's awesome. Their defense is terrible, which, from a fantasy perspective, means they're going to keep on throwing. But, yeah, no, man, I love Pat Mahomes. I love him. And they traded up to get him last year, Kansas City did, and then stuck with Alex Smith. You know, we'll see if that changes anything here. You know, Baker Mayfield's sitting. Josh Rosen is still sitting.
Right.
That's how it used to be. Even, you know, with Carson, I wanted him to play his first year, like, rather quickly. I didn't care if they lost. Because if he's going to be good, you got to find out as quickly as possible.
Right.
They sat Mahomes for the whole year. Early returns are it's paying off. Now, Andy Reid dominates September and October, so we'll see what happens here in their defense.
I think it's a
weak.
Different team. I think they're the odds-on favorite to win the AFC, and unfortunately, a close second coming in with Jacksonville right now. They're playing really well, especially with Fournette out, which is a bruising fucking back to have. And you're playing that well without him? I don't know. It's a little scary to me.
What are your thoughts here on Josh Gordon? He touched on, Captain touched on it. I mean,
I think Belichick will make a player out of him. He's going to be there for a year. He's going to leave, sign a big deal, and he's going to fuck up again.
I've listened to a couple different interviews with different NFL people. Your boy Joe Banner. He was on the Andrew Brandt podcast today. Because, you know, he was with him in Cleveland when he actually played. If we sign him, we take a flyer on him, that's fine. You know, giving up a fifth-round pick, seventh-round pick conditional, I don't know what the deal is. I think he's – I don't want to say trash. And the guy's got –
He is trash.
This guy's got issues. Like, if you need him for two games, you might be able to get something out of him. I just can't imagine that he's going to blow up. He's got the talent. I don't think he cares. He's got demons he's got to work through. Something happened.
We all have demons, baby.
We do, but, you know, this is something when it's affecting your livelihood. He hasn't had, you know, his we saw what he can do. He just doesn't do it. He can't get on the field. And I don't – if Cleveland is saying, hey, we're trying to start a new culture here and you're out of here with this – New England's not going to waste time with him. They're not going to waste time. They'll find someone. They'll find another way to win.
Yeah.
I mean, unless Cordell Patterson has to be really fucking shitty that they got to pick up Josh Gordon.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
Exactly.
100%.
So, I mean, what would I have given up for? I don't know. Howie. I would have thought Howie would have made some kind of trickery or something.
Rickery.
But we didn't get him. I'm excited for Jordan Matthews.
All right. I think we should take one more quick break, one short song, and then we'll come back, talk Sixers, Phillies, and pick our matchups for the week.
Sounds good.
And then come back in. You guys will see you back on the DQ Sports.
Let's get some Jane's Addiction.
All right, we're back on episode 4 of the DQ Sports Blizzard, joined by our special guest, Rex Conroy, in the house. How are you, sir?
Good. I don't think this is on, but...
No, we can hear you.
Absolutely, it's on. Okay. Can you hear the headset?
I cannot.
This is a professional operation we got here on the DQ Sports Blizzard in Green Legion Studios. Longshoreman Rex is trying out his headphones here.
All right,
that works, sir.
I can hear now.
There we go. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah, there that is.
This is what happens when we're going to be in Tampa together. Why don't we just do a remote? That'll be easy.
Yeah.
And that took about 45 minutes to get rolling there, but we weren't going anywhere. And gets a little messy when you're trying to set up at home too. So at least we know if we do decide to bring this little show down to Xfinity Live for our tailgates. At some point or the other.
Yes.
Rex, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you since the draft.
And this final segment, everybody, is brought to you by 422 Jeep in Limerick. Make sure you go down. Check out our friend Mike McVeigh. Walk in, talking sports, walking out with a Jeep. That's pretty much what happens.
These new guys are awesome. I'm talking about the Jeeps.
Yeah.
McVeigh's okay.
McVeigh's okay. The Jeeps are great. McVeigh's okay.
Yeah, Jeeps, they're sweet. They're sweet. I was in traffic the whole way down on 76. I must have waved to like 10 Jeeps.
You're starting to learn, huh?
I'm good at it now.
All right, good.
Yeah. I zone out when I'm driving, and you have to give the wave or you're not a real Jeep guy.
That Jeep has a hell of a sound system.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Because they put it in...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Alpine bumpers in the
back.
Oh,
yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
You can hear the bass with the top down.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm doing when I get out of here?
Putting the top down?
Oh, I'm putting the top down.
That a girl.
Yeah.
Why not?
Now you're riding down.
Now you're learning.
Yeah, get that receding hairline going. It's great.
I got a hat for you, baby.
See, only the Wrangler people have that wave thing going down, right? It's not the Cherokee.
It's not
guys.
The rest of the Cherokee.
That's right. Cherokee the soccer moms. You know, it's when you have a couple kids, you still, you want the Jeep look, but you got to be a little bit more refined. And I'm pretty sure you can't drive a Jeep around with a couple kids in the back. I don't know if that's.
You have the four-door ticket?
Yes, the four-door. Because
the four-door sells way more than the two-door. So remember how they didn't even offer the four-door?
Right.
But that's how they tapped into the more mature market.
I guess
like
so.
The four-door pickup.
I mean, who's mature
like
here?
Did you hear that?
He just burped.
The more mature market.
So
this way of saying old fuckers like you.
Yeah, here we go.
Listen, I'm not. I wasn't even
both
school.
Knocking on the door, baby.
I wasn't even. I was like a freshman in high school when this jerk off was graduating college.
Hey.
Maybe.
So it just makes you a little bit younger than us old guys.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, I got to get into this fucking
show. Yeah, let's
thing.
Let's do it. Let's bang this out. Let's spend a few minutes on the Sixers, and then we're gonna talk about the Phillies.
You guys did have a pretty long list set out for you guys.
Yeah, we're almost at the end, and then we're gonna pick, and Rex is gonna be part of our.
Oh, that sounds
our
good.
Picks. So, and
now
I
Rex, the goal here is remember Quimby doesn't know shit about sports, football especially. So your picks, let's just you gotta just beat Quimby every week.
And that's what happens when I get tired of Diaz. Finally got the mute on him. It took 4 weeks, but we finally got the mute on him.
So guess what's about to happen? The mute on me, because last week I came in last, and this week I came in second to last, and I only beat one person.
On fantasy?
He's in this room, but it wasn't you, Diaz.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you beat me? Well, I'm terrible.
Yeah. You don't know the players.
And of course, I have a lot of different things going on. I can't concentrate at all on... Anyway.
I was with you all weekend. You could have put in a lineup. All right, let this.
I did put in my lineup this week.
Did Alshon Jeffrey start this
no,
week for
you?
You?
That's it. Get to your fucking Sixers, dickwad.
Listen, man, this Elton Brand hiring as a GM.
Stop.
What the fuck, man? What the fuck? I'm just going to explain to all our loyal listeners out there how I process. All right, I'm a process guy, and it's possible to be in love with the team. I love the games. I love the players. I love the coach, who might have had something to do with this. But this organization is so fucking tone deaf about everything all the time. I'm not ever going to try and defend this organization. They are so fucking stupid with this shit. They talk in all their...
Are the Sixers the Cleveland Browns of the
No, because they got players. They got players. And in the NBA, you know, you have to have players to win. But all the... And first off, at this point, you know, GM is definitely important. You got to have your GM. You're going to see what you got this first, you know, month or so of the season, or the first few months of the season. Elton Brand's a great guy. Everyone loves him. He's well respected in the league. But he just did a year as the G League coach. That doesn't mean he doesn't know anything about basketball or is an idiot. He just doesn't have experience. I don't know what his scouting is.
So you're much more familiar with the Sixers than I am, but one thing we've always had a problem with since I've been mildly paying attention is maintaining our talent or retaining it. And do you think that this hire will threaten that?
No. I mean, no, they just signed JoJo to an extension. He's not going. It really comes down to Embiid and Simmons, hopefully Fultz. And to a lesser extent, you know, Sarge and Covington. With that, what I'm hoping is that he, you know, the money guys that they have in place can figure all that out. And we really don't know until we see it. It's more the optics. And I was the guy that said, you know, the only reason they fired Sam Hinkie is because of the optics, and who cares about the optics? That was 3 years ago or 2 years ago. But now I'm like taking the opposite point. Cause, you know, obviously I don't know shit either. I know more than Quimby, but just, I don't know that much of shit. This just looks so dumb when they're saying, you know, they got the Colangelo thing was a mess. It shouldn't have gone the way he shouldn't have been hired.
That was a fucking mess.
Well, you know, you bring in Jerry Colangelo, and all of a sudden they have this list of 75 potential interviewees, and then just settle on Brian Colangelo really quickly. You know, just say what it is. Don't have this whole spin about this rigorous search you did. You brought in this old guy who has a great career, has done a lot for USA Basketball, a lot for the NBA, has a huge resume. His son was available, you know. Was his son the only guy they considered? I don't know, but it is what it is here, you know. And then that guy is just, he is completely afraid of looking bad and quote unquote losing trades. I'll never lose a trade. His wife goes off the rocker. So he's got to go, but they wait two or three weeks. And I'm sure that they took their time in firing him, or they had a separation just because of contracts and millions of dollars and everything like that. And then they're going through, they're going to hire all these guys. This has been repeated anytime you've heard about this whole GM search, is they wanted someone who was up and coming, young, dynamic, bring new ideas.
Maybe someone that the players could relate to because he's a recent player.
But also like someone that's going to kind of have their own ideas, but then is going to work in collaboration with the people they already have. And no one that fits that first description. First off, everyone works in a collaborative effort. Howie Roseman is collaborative. Everyone's collaborative. You don't get where you are without being a collaborator and working as a team. But you hire someone, you want your own people in there wherever you're coming from. And I think that they should have just hired someone from within back in June. It would have been easier. The staff is in place. They could have kept them if that's what they wanted to do before the draft and everything. And instead, about two or three weeks ago, this whole GM thing picks up again. They interview these guys from Utah, from Boston, from Houston, respected organizations. They take them out to dinner a couple times. And then they just settle on Elton Brand, who was literally a player 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say. Recently.
They re-signed him as a player 2 years ago.
So one thing, like, I know, like, you're not real proud of guys that
straight
haven't been paying attention to the Sixers for a long time, like myself. So one thing we want to see is for someone that I started finally paying attention to the Sixers last year. I was so happy to get excited about the Phillies again this year because it's been a little bit since they have disappointed so much. And I'm just worried that this seems like such an odd hire that I'm hoping that it doesn't cause any turmoil, rift, or
it disrupts
the process.
No, the process is over. It was over when Hinkie was fired. Now, the remnants of the process came through with Simmons and the Fultz, you know, and all the picks we have. And that's not debatable, so don't even try and question it. Ben Simmons was a Sam Hinkie pick. We're just going to leave it at that. No one was going to pick, what's his name, Brandon Ingram. Ben Simmons was the pick. We were the worst team in the league, historically bad. It was going to be Ben Simmons. That's why they did it that year. I think what your concern is, if anything, I think this is would actually be the opposite. Elton Brand was on the team. He was a player. They re-signed him 2 years ago to be kind of a mentor. To be a mentor for both your boy Okafor and Embiid. You know, he's a Duke guy.
Is Okafor out of the year out of the league yet?
No. And
he's
still
in Brooklyn? They didn't kill him yet?
No, he signed, I think, for the Pelicans. I think he's down in New Orleans. And what we hear is that he's all cut now and everything. He probably still can't play defense. That's the main thing.
He's fucking lazy.
I think for Elton Brand, though, the good thing is I think he actually is good for this team and the players, like, you know, as a relationship guy. But if the Sixers have some injuries, or there is a bench issue, or there's a need, and we're second in the East, or first in the East, or fourth in the East, and they start making a push, people get hurt. Zaire Smith takes some time to get in. I don't know if I trust Elton Brand to know or have the experience and the confidence to pull off that trade for that guy that's going to help put him over the edge. You know, everyone talks about, everyone was sad when Ilyasova and Bellinelli left this offseason for ridiculous deals that they're not worth. But those are good little pickups. Mm-hmm. They're not game-changing pickups. I don't know if I trust Elton Brand with that. And going into this offseason, now Jimmy Butler's available. I don't really want Jimmy Butler, but I just... He hasn't had enough front office experience. He knows basketball. He knows the players. He's a good guy. He's a good man. He's honest. I don't think he's got a ton of burner accounts around, you know, so we don't have to worry about that shit. But you want someone that's learned from someone that's been the best. Elton Brand was a player 2 years ago. Now he's leading your front office.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like that. What? And if you're going to do this, do it in June. Don't have all this tech jarble business nonsense about optimization, all this crap that you throw out there that everyone hates anyway and just sees through it. Like, what are you guys doing? Just fucking hire a GM. If you want someone internally, hire someone internally. I thought it would have been Mark Eversley because he was in the league office forever and, you know, has been around longer. It just seems weird that they want to keep this front office team together and they hire the guy with no experience. It just doesn't make any sense. It's a good team. He was one of like four or five guys internally they wanted to keep. So you hire the guy with no experience.
So that like I said, I look at myself, you know, even though I'm a Philadelphia resident and fan, I looked at it as like this guy was just playing. Like this guy should have
he was on the squad
some
2 years
sort
ago.
Of, you know, lead up to this
residency,
GM job, you know,
yeah, be like apprenticeship.
Be like hiring me as a GM. You know what I mean?
Right. It just doesn't make in anyone's job. Even if you had a great team, whatever your career is, you have a great team of advisors, a great team of lawyers. You know, we need a new partner, but this partner has to keep these guys. Well, you know, someone new. You bring someone new in the office. They want their own management team. So, if that's the case, you're probably going to have to hire within. Just so cut the bullshit. So let's look at our team of four or five guys. Let's interview them all. We love them all. And then you hire the guy with the least experience. How does that play with the other guys? I don't know. And then they just threw senior in front of everyone else's name, their title, that is. So I like Elton Brand as a guy. I can't imagine he's zero experience.
I can't imagine not only was he the right pick or the best pick that they had right in front of them.
So anyway, that's my feeling of this GM hire. I was like, oh shit, my phone blew up. Let me tell you, the Sixers front office, can you stop doing stupid shit so I don't have to fucking talk to stupid fucking idiots all the time? I love Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz, Robert Covington, Dario Saric, T.J. McConnell. Those are my guys. I don't want to talk about your stupid fucking. They have these huge releases of marketing campaigns and shit like that. It's fucking annoying, man. That said, camp starts on Saturday, and I'm fucking psyched as shit. It's going to be great. Great season. Yo, Q, we going to go to a game this year?
Sure.
Yeah, man. So let's we'll make sure I find a good way to spend your money down at the Wells Fargo.
Of course you will.
That's what we do. Rex, of course, you're included as well.
Why not?
I mean, yeah, that'll increase.
Thanks for inviting me.
That increases cost by 50%. So, you know,
there we go.
We'll find some good
bar tab alone.
The schedule this year, yeah, it's the same schedule every year. Every team plays, you know, the same schedule. But no good weekend games. I like the weekend games. But
why is that?
Because, I mean, you know, the game
doesn't have to work.
Well, yeah, you don't have to work. You can take your time going there. You can hang out afterwards. You can meet up with friends. You know, if we're hitting a 7 o'clock game on a Tuesday, it's shitty to get that. Yeah. You're not getting down there at 5 unless you're really, digging into your work time. Not that I've ever had a problem with that before. But then afterwards, you're rushing home. You know, it's just you can't get a good drink on. You can't get a good pregame on. That's why we like football. It's Sundays. It's easy.
That's a good point.
Get down to the tailgate. So anyway, that was a stream of consciousness.
It's okay.
It makes complete sense.
I'm letting you have your platform, baby.
So that's it. That's your Sixers preview of the week.
We know how you feel about the Sixers.
Let's talk for 60 seconds about the Phillies.
That's about all they're worth.
Hold on a second. Let's talk for 6 seconds about the Phillies.
Yeah.
They have to win every game.
Yep.
They're not.
If you don't win the NL East, you're not going anywhere because the NL West is just on fire right now.
You got three teams killing for it there. All right, good. Good talk about the Phillies.
That was it.
It's amazing how many strikeouts Nola can throw, but he still gives up too many long balls.
But he gave up 2 runs, and they left 6 stranded while he was pitching. He should have had that victory. Our bats suck.
We're just not a great team. We're an okay team.
We're an okay team. We're middle of the road, maybe a little bit better than middle of the road, and you know we'll get there. But there's no real issue. I'm getting tired of Cap fucking. You know, well, let's talk about the warrior that Jorge Alfaro is. He takes at least 6 shots. We have to go out and make sure he's okay at least twice a game. You know, taking one in the chin. I'm like, man, maybe he's just not that good of a catcher. You know.
Who's he? Quimby taking him in the chin?
Yeah, right? Maybe for fuck's sake. Maybe, you know, he blocks it the right way. Doesn't take it in the chin. Or, you know, maybe he didn't sign a backstop as your catcher. Who knows? Thanks, Dave.
That turned over trash can that catches you, like they teach you to throw into.
You guys, we are going to round this program down right now. We're going to keep track of this moving forward. Rex, you're going to be in this week. So. We've got games, matchups for this weekend. Starting tomorrow with the Jets and the Browns, which, by the way, I'm liking the overall attitude in Cleveland right now. And it's okay because, you know, they deserve it. They still haven't won a game in, like, 2 fucking seasons, right? They didn't win a game all last year, and they won, like... One the year before,
okay. That tie week one was their.
Oh
best
my God! Well, let's
start
not even let's not.
They won 33-1.
We've got 2 ties in 2 weeks in 2 divisions.
That's got to be.
You've got the Steelers and Browns and the fucking Packers and Vikings. Missing that 34-yarder. Wow, that's just crazy. But anyway, here we go.
Yeah, how about the Browns had to sign a new kicker, so we'll see how that works out for them.
Well, there we go.
2 PATs and 2 field goals missed.
Rex, Jets or Browns?
I'm going to go with the Jets because they were in fuego.
When? They lost last week.
The week one, I you know.
They lost to Miami in the fucking 12-hour game. Diaz.
That was Tennessee, wasn't it?
Was it Tennessee?
Yeah.
Who did the Jets play last week?
The Jets were on, I don't know who they played. Oh, you're right. They did play in Miami, right?
I thought it was Miami.
Yeah, okay.
No, it might have been Tennessee.
No, Tennessee was...
I think the Jets lost last week.
Okay.
But Jets or Browns?
I'm going to go Jets on the road.
I am going to go with the Browns to win.
Oh, shit. Oh, Cleveland, you get the Quimby curse of death.
All right, Bills, Vikings, easy.
Vikings.
Vikes.
Vagina across the board. Giants versus Texans.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go Texans.
Fucking Giants are fucking awful, man.
Thank you.
I heard a great thing today. Eli, awful. When he goes back to pass now, looks like he's stumbling drunk out of a bar. his 3-5-step drop.
I texted my friend. He's a huge Giants fan. And I was like, God, you guys are fucking awful. And he goes, agreed.
Yes.
That's hysterical.
All the skill players in the world, no lie.
All right, Packers versus Redskins in D.C.
I'm going. I'm still upset the Bears didn't hunt down Rodgers like a crippled animal in the fucking night, but I'm still going to go with the Packers.
I'm going to go Skins. Yeah, I'm really? Going Skins, yeah.
Pack. 49ers versus Chiefs.
Where is this being played?
In Kansas City.
Chiefs.
Chiefs.
I'm going with the 40 Chiefs.
I'm surprised. Jimmy G dating all these porn stars? I thought he was like your hero. Man. Plays football.
Guess he got soft.
Raiders versus Dolphins in Miami.
Ooh. Dolphins. I was in Florida last week. It was a fucking swamp, dude.
Swamp, yeah. I have to go with the Raiders because somehow, some way, they have to win this fucking week.
I am on the Diaz train because I think it's difficult to beat a Florida team in Florida in September.
Yeah. And also, the Raiders have John Gruden, who doesn't know shit.
He doesn't. All right, we've all talked about this. Colts versus Birds.
I'm going Birds.
Go Birds.
I have to go Birds, man.
I'm going Birds big time, 30-17.
The Colts have one of the worst defenses there is, so.
The Colts have Andrew Luck. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Luck sucks. Tits versus Jags. Titans versus Jags.
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 Yeah. Jag-offs.
Jags. I don't want them to win, but they're playing out of
their
minds.
I was very impressed with that win last week.
Bengals in Carolina.
That's a tough one. That's a good game.
Interesting game, right?
Mixon is out this week.
Yeah, Mixon is out.
As I know, because I have him on my team. Yeah. So
don't worry. Your team's better than mine.
Right. I have to go with the Panthers.
I'm going to go with the Panthers, too. And also, for next year, just remember when you're – it's the 15th round.
And you're trying – thanks, Quimby.
It's the 15th round and you're like sweating over your picks. Just pick someone. It's better than what Quimby would do. You're never going to be the worst.
I'm going with the Bengals.
See?
Denver in Baltimore.
Ouch.
That's interesting.
That is one. 'Cause
Baltimore lost last week, didn't they?
Baltimore. Who did they play?
Sorry, I got it.
This is terrible. This is what happens when you go on the road. You don't get to see all the games.
Because Denver came back to tie the Raiders, but that wasn't a particularly impressive. I mean, the Raiders handled them all.
Do I want to go Denver here? What's the line?
Let's see. But I have no idea what Baltimore did last week.
We're so professional with this here. Denver. Oh, it's in Baltimore. I'm going to have to take Baltimore.
Who did they play last week?
Every time I say it, the home team's last.
Yeah, Denver.
The Ravens lost to Cincinnati in Cincinnati, 34-23.
It was on Thursday night. It was during our show.
That's right.
I'm going to go Baltimore. Baltimore, I see between -5, -5.5. I hate Baltimore.
I hate Denver even more. I'm going Baltimore, too.
I'm going to go Baltimore, too, because, like I said, Denver, I didn't watch that game. I just watched some of the highlights, and it was embarrassing that the Raiders gave up that fucking game to them. Because they hadn't beat the whole fucking game except for like the last few
minutes. Here's an interesting one. New Orleans traveling to their division rival, Falcons.
That's even. It's a -3 line.
Falcons.
I'm going to go Saints.
Really?
I'm going Falcons.
I hate the Falcons.
I think the Saints suck.
The Saints are way worse.
They almost lost to Cleveland.
Yeah. At home.
At home.
I hear you.
They're lucky they're not 0-2.
I mean, if the Saints, if there's a team that is amazing at home, the Saints have to be way up there. And they almost lost to
the Falcons, too, actually. I'm going Saints. I'm going against the grain.
All right.
We're not putting money on it, so.
And we don't have to spend too much time with an explanation on each one.
Okay.
San Diego in L.A.
You see what he did there? He's it's 1988 always with Quimby. The Chargers play in L.A. as well. Not San Diego.
Right.
You were there last year.
Okay. L.A. versus L.A.
Yeah. I am
in
gonna,
the Coliseum.
Carson versus L.A.
I'm going to go. I'm going to have to go the Rams, but I could see the Chargers pulling that off.
I'm going Rams.
I'm going Chargers. Just to get one. Chicago and Arizona.
Jesus. Chicago. Yeah. Fun stat. Arizona has had 2 drives get in the red zone so far this year.
Emmy Sleeves.
Jesus.
2?
2 drives in 2 games.
Dallas in Seattle.
Seattle all the way. Dallas fucking sucks.
Dallas is fucking...
I'm with Seattle as well. New England in Detroit.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Matt Patricia. Has he been holding it off for this game?
I'm going to say it right now.
He doesn't finish the year.
The Patriots are going to roll.
Yeah, Patriots.
Yeah.
I don't see him finishing the year in Detroit.
He has a mark, what do you call these? A whiteboard menu, and he still fucking holds that pencil in his hat. It's obvious. He's an idiot.
And the final one before the end of the program, Pittsburgh versus Tampa Bay in Florida on Monday night.
Pittsburgh is a shit show right now. Tampa.
I'm going with Tampa as well. I'm going to ride that Bucks gravy train.
They are a shit show. They are fucking scrambled eggs, man. They're without a rudder.
All right, everybody. Diaz, Rex, appreciate you guys coming in for a little while there. We are going to start winding down the program here. And we're going to do so with a little EJ. Everybody, don't forget the DQ Sports Blizzard. The Diaz and Quimby Sports Blizzard is brought to you by Miller Lite. Yards here in Northern Liberties. 422 Jeep Limerick. Cavs all over the place. Delilah's. And don't forget about our great friends over at Bucks County Baseball Company. You guys, we're signing off. We'll see you next week.
TTB!